Today my message is entitled, Empty Equals Full. In these difficult days, I have been amazed and grateful for the unexpected blessings that have come out of this crisis. Well, there's plenty of awful to go around, and we've seen some of the dark side of human nature rear its ugly head. But if you're observant, you'll notice a lot of positive things too. Did you hear about the people in several countries cheering for healthcare workers at an appointed hour every day? Or how about Spanish police officers serenading housebound residents? Or about fitness instructors leading group workout sessions from neighboring rooftops while people work out on their own balconies or in their own rooms? Or how about all the food and funds that have been generously donated? Or companies that have refitted to produce ventilators, hand sanitizer, and other needed materials? Or about a boy in Canada who answered a request from the local hospitals for help with creating ear guards that take the pressure off workers' ears from wearing face masks all day. He got busy on his 3D printer and has been turning out dozens of ear guards to donate. These are just a few of the examples of positives that have come out of this crisis. So we see that something good can come out of something bad. Matter of fact, today we celebrate an event that happened about 2,000 years ago in which something good came out of something bad. What we call Good Friday was not such a good day for Jesus, for it was in that day that he suffered humiliation, physical torture, emotional turmoil, and finally death on the cross. But what happened on the following Sunday that we are celebrating today brought something good out of the tragedy of Jesus' death. For as scripture says, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Today we are celebrating because Jesus is alive. He is the Lamb who was slain, raised to life as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hear how Jesus described himself after his resurrection in Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. He said, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and of Hades. During his earthly ministry, Jesus declared that he came that people might have life and have it to the full. So today I declare to you that empty equals full. The empty tomb equals life to the full. The Apostle Peter wrote about how we can experience life to the full through the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Hallelujah. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise God. New birth is where this begins. Let me take the liberty of rephrasing verses 3 and 4. In his great mercy, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he has given us a new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance. In his great mercy, the mercy of God that sent Jesus. See, friends, the fact is we are spiritually dead because of our sins, living in disobedience to God, living to please ourselves. We were by nature objects of God's wrath. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 tell us this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God's mercy and grace truly are amazing. As someone has said, mercy is getting what you deserve, not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Thank God for His mercy. We are made alive spiritually because of what Jesus did on the cross and by His resurrection. This new birth gives us a living hope and an eternal inheritance. This is what Jesus was speaking of when He said He came that we might have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. You see, in this world, we get to experience life as children of God. This means we have available to us every spiritual blessing in Christ. What are some of those blessings? Well, here's a few found in Ephesians 1. A clear conscience before God. Peace that comes from knowing you are a child of God. The forgiveness of sins. Understanding of God's purpose of creation for creation, which is to bring unity to all things in Christ. The indwelling Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. In the world to come, we get to experience life as the children of God for all eternity. This is our inheritance that the Bible speaks of. We get to live forever in the presence of God in this wondrous place we call heaven. In this place, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. Nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nothing shameful or deceitful. This is ours through the resurrection of Jesus as we experience new birth by faith in Him who is the resurrection and the life. See, Jesus' promise is true. Let me say that again. Jesus' promise is true. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Peter's letter reminds us that not only does it begin with a new birth, but that we need to stand firm in our faith. Now understand that living as a follower of Jesus can be hard, but you never face it alone. Think of verses 4 and 6 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or Romans 8, beginning at verse 34, we read this. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Because of what Jesus has done, we can experience full life in this world and the world in the world to come, for He is with us. Praise God. Imagine what a wonderful place that must be. Now, Peter encourages us, stating that we are shielded by God's power, even though we go through all kinds of trials. See, trials prove that our faith is genuine. Now, there's a story of a man who was walking in a park and fell off of a cliff. Now, he's able to grab a branch sticking out of the bluff a few feet from the top of the cliff, and he cries out for help. And he hears a voice, "I can help." "Great," the man calls out. "Who are you?" "This is God. I'm here for you." "Well, that's wonderful, God. What do I have to do?" "Let go of the branch." The man thinks about it for a moment. "Is there anyone else up there?" Now, it's easy to live for God when life is good. But where is your faith when the storms of life come? Do you give up or do you go on? See, it's the daily choices we make that matter in living for God. Now, I like to play board games and card games, and one of the things on my bucket list is to create a game that is both fun and has playability, replayability. And I've tried my hand at a few things, and some brave souls, people who love me and are willing to be guinea pigs, have play tested them with me. Most have crashed and burned in the first couple of turns, but a couple of them weren't too bad, but I still haven't come up with a good game yet. See, I'm not going to give up. I'm confident that the day will come when I'm going to create a game that will be a really good game. Now, many people are facing trials right now because of this pandemic. Sickness, financial concerns, feeling socially disconnected, having too much family time. See, your faith can shine through in every trial, even in trying circumstances. Now, one of our church's national leaders has been battling for his life for over 3 weeks, over 22 days on a ventilator. And his son wrote regarding his dad's situation. Here's a portion of what he wrote. People are asking all the time right now, if God is so loving, so caring, merciful, gracious, then how on earth is he letting this happen? Listen, it's random. Asking this question about how could he let this happen depends far more on a basic question. Do you believe in God? Because if you don't, then the conversation about God's will and coronavirus should likely end there, because it is a fundamental question of what you believe about God. So how do we combat the randomness of life? With choice. Repeating good choices undoubtedly leads to a more wholehearted and joyful life. Choosing your character, your integrity, your relationships, who you invest in and allow to invest in you. It is these choices that make the randomness of life inconsequential. He writes, my dad would most certainly agree that the only real choice that matters is the choice of whether you will live your life for God. Well, returning to Peter's letter, we discover that salvation is about a relationship with Christ. 1 Peter 1:8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Christian life is a life of faith. Now, I have never seen the wind, but I've seen the effects of the wind. Therefore, I believe in the wind. I have never seen Jesus, but I believe in him. Why? Because I have seen the effects of believing in him in my life and in the lives of others. So I have chosen to invest my life in a relationship with Jesus Christ, to love him and to believe in him. I can't describe how I know that this relationship is real, but I like what the Apostle Paul said about it, that believers are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Now you may ask, Pastor Rich, what if you're wrong? Well, I feel that a life with Jesus, even if it turns out to be just psychological self-delusion on my part, is a better choice than a life without Jesus. I choose to live by faith in the unseen. Now, this is really not that big of a leap. How many of you have heard of a company called Microsoft? It's been around since about 1986. Before then, it was an unknown. Yet many people back then chose to invest in it on the day of its public offering. At that time, again, a lot of people weren't familiar with Bill Gates or PCs or computer programs. But some people took a chance on this startup company and have reaped the financial benefits because of that. Did you know that a $1,000 investment in Microsoft on that day, March 13th, 1986, was worth more than $1.6 million as of November 2018? What I'm getting at is this. The end result of your faith in Jesus Christ is the salvation of your soul. The empty tomb means you can experience life in its full in this world and in the world to come. Through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have a relationship with God. We read in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Friends, today I want to bring this message to a conclusion. And if you're listening to this today, watching this on Facebook or through some other medium, then I would just simply say to those of you who have not yet found Jesus as your Savior, you've not invited Him to come be the Lord of your life and to be your Savior, that you would do that today, that this Easter would be the day that you experience the new birth. Believe that Jesus is the risen Savior, the exalted Son of God, and you will experience that new birth and become a child of God. And you can live life to its full in this world and in the world to come. There is no formula, no specific prayer to ask or to say. Just simply admit to Him your need of Him and your belief that He died for you and that He is risen again. Ask Him to forgive you and to make you a child of God. Now, for those of us who have prayed that prayer, who have experienced that new birth, might I encourage you to be reminded this day that you have something to live for and that you honestly have something to die for. That because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have that hope that after we serve Him in this life, we will enter into His presence in that wonderful place called heaven, where we will be able to spend eternity with Him. Let me leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul, from the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, that very last verse. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you for joining us this day. It's been my privilege to bring to you a message of hope because of the resurrection of Jesus as we celebrate Easter. We're going to sing another song in worship, and then there is a closing prayer. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you.